If you've been with us over the course of the last weeks, you know that we've been in this series that I've called Inward, and it's really a series where we're turning a mirror on ourselves, right? We're looking deep within our own selves and our walks with Jesus, and we're hopefully doing some examining on how we're doing in some areas. So the very first week, we talked about who's calling the shots in my life, who sits on the throne, so to speak, of my life. The second week, we talked about, is there evidence in how I live that people would know that I'm a follower of Jesus? And then last week, we talked about the weight of an unforgiving heart. At the end of the service, I told people, if you want a book, I have books up here. We ran out of books last week, so there are more books up here. If you're interested in a great short read on forgiveness, what it is, what it isn't, it can be a helpful read for you. You can grab those after the service today. I've had, throughout this whole series in the last 3 weeks, I've had multiple conversations with people about, and not in a bad way, but that there's been some uncomfortable examination going on in lives. As we look inward and what we've been talking about. And I think this morning, I think it might take the cake for making us uncomfortable, if that's what we're going for. And that's not exactly what we're going for, but I think it's an important thing that we're talking about this morning, because I do believe that it probably impacts, if not most of us, every one of us in this room, if we're being honest with ourselves. Today we're looking at another area that can, I think, be difficult for us to admit in our own lives. And the area is this: the way we judge people who are different from us. People of different faiths, people of different beliefs, different politics, different lifestyles, different social, economic statuses, different backgrounds. People who live maybe on the margins. It's easy to recognize somebody else's prejudice, but it's a whole lot harder for us to look inward and recognize our own. At the end of the day, that's what I'm going to be encouraging each of us to be doing. So the question today is, who have I decided doesn't belong? Who have I put into a category instead of looking at them as a person? Who do I look down on? Who do I avoid? Who have I decided I don't understand, and therefore I don't try to understand their story? Those are the questions that I hope we wrestle with for the next 30 minutes. Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, help us open our hearts. Show us what is really there, not what we want others to see, but what you see in us. If there are prejudices that we have excused, judgments that we have justified, people that we have just dismissed, if there are attitudes that we've hidden, bring them to light, Lord God. Jesus, teach us to see people the way that you see them. And when you show us something that needs changed, give us the humility not to defend ourselves, but to surrender ourselves. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to have you turn in your Bibles to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, we're going to look at the first four verses. If you're using one of the church Bibles, under the chair in front of you, page 854. 854, James chapter 2, starting at verse 1. As we get started this morning, the first thing that we're going to look at is we often judge people before we know people. I think that's a good spot for us to start. We often judge people before we know people. So James chapter 2, starting at verse 1 says, "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show some special attention to the man wearing the fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'You sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" That's where we'll pause. Now, it's first, and maybe it's firstly important for us to notice from this passage that James is writing to Christian or to Christ followers, to Christians. Right? Like, that's how he starts it. And that matters. He is not pointing at the culture outside the church. He's confronting something that is taking place within the church, among the believers. Two people come into the gathering, it says, one looks wealthy and important, the other is wearing filthy clothes. But before either person says much of anything, a judgment is made. One gets a good seat, so one gets to sit at the back. That's the good seat, guys. Come on. Let's wake up. That was a good joke, honestly. One gets the good seat. The other gets pushed aside, according to our passage. The problem was not that they noticed a difference between the two people. We all notice differences. The problem was that they assigned value based on the differences, based on how they labeled each person. The one man was labeled as wealthy, therefore deserving. The other man was labeled as unkept, therefore labeled as undeserving. Here's the thing, people are not labels. And we got to be so careful as we live our lives not to just see people as labels. Behind everybody that we label, we place. Behind everybody we label, we fail sometimes at seeing that person the way Jesus does. At seeing that person as created in the image of God. Because we only see the label that we've put on them. Behind every political opinion is a story. Behind every addiction that a person has is a story. Behind every religious belief is a person, like a real live person. Behind every lifestyle that we may disagree with is somebody that God knows completely. Following Jesus never gives us permission to stop seeing the true person. And this matters maybe more in today's culture and world than ever before. There's a Pew Research survey done in 2023-2024 that found that 29% of American adults are religiously unaffiliated, and about 7% identify with religions other than Christianity. So that's 36%. Loving our neighbor increasingly, it means loving people who believe very differently than you and I do. There's 36%, according to this survey, that don't believe in don't do church or religion at all, or have very different views than you and I. In order for us to love them, we have to see them as people. And that doesn't mean that truth no longer matters. Don't hear me saying that. It doesn't mean every belief is equally true. It doesn't mean we as Christ followers abandon our biblical convictions that we have. That's not what I am trying to say. But there is a huge difference between conviction and contempt or disdain for people. I can believe, you can believe that somebody is wrong without believing that they are worthless. I can disagree with choices without treating people disrespectfully. I can disagree politically without making you my enemy. I can believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and treating people that feel differently than that with genuine kindness still. So here's our first look inward kind of question this morning. Who have I reduced to a label? Is there somebody whose story I have never bothered to hear because I decided I already knew everything I needed to know about them because of the label I placed on them? The truth is that judgment does not only grow from the labels or categories that we put people into. Sometimes it grows from the category we put ourselves into. When I become convinced that I am one of the good people, it becomes remarkably easy to identify everybody who is not. That idea really leads us to our second point this morning. Judgment grows when I forget how much grace I need. In Luke chapter 18, verse 9, it says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. And then he goes on and he tells a parable that's a familiar parable to many of us. This is Luke chapter 18. If you're taking notes, write it down. You can go home and read the whole parable. I'm just going to kind of walk us through it this morning. But Jesus tells about two men praying. The one man is a Pharisee. The other man is a tax collector. The Pharisee says, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. And then he goes on and he starts listing these other people that he's not like, and then he's thanking God that he's not like, right? I'm not like robbers or evildoers or adulterers. And finally, he says, or even like this tax collector. Now, the Pharisee is supposedly talking to God. I think he's mostly congratulating himself, right? Like, thank you, God, that I am so much better than him. But the tax collector, on the other hand, stands at a distance and he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says the tax collector went home justified before God. Grace can only be received by people who understand that they need grace. We must make sure that without even knowing it, we don't start praying the prayer of the Pharisee. And we don't start in our minds praying, thank God I am not like them. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Like here's the news bulletin for us, right? None of us Not a single person in this room, none of us impressed God into saving us. None of us earned our place in his family. We came needing grace and mercy. The ground at the foot of the cross is level. We all come the same way. Politics shows us really easily how we forget this posture. In an April 26th, so just a few months ago, a Pew survey, it said 92% of Democrats viewed the Republican Party unfavorably, while 93% of Republicans viewed the Democratic Party unfavorably. We live in an atmosphere that encourages us not simply to disagree, but to distrust and to despise people. Our political identity cannot become more important than our identity in Christ. Someone who votes differently than I do is still a person Jesus died for and loves. And even if somebody treats me as an enemy, Jesus already told us what we're supposed to do as Christians, right? We love them. So here's the inward question. When I encounter somebody whose life or beliefs I strongly disagree with, and I'm not talking just politically here, I strongly disagree with their life or their beliefs, what rises in me first? Superiority or compassion? The thing is that grace does not weaken our convictions. But it should change the posture with which we carry them. Jesus did not merely teach this kind of grace we're talking about today. He lived it again and again. He moved towards the very people, the respectable, the proper religious society had learned to move away from. If I say that I follow Jesus, I have to ask whether I am willing to move the same way, the same direction that Jesus did. Our third point this morning is following Jesus means moving toward people, not standing over them. And again, if you're taking notes, it's going to be Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. Another very familiar story to many people. In Luke chapter 10, verse 30, it says, "But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him." This is the story of the Good Samaritan. A man is attacked, he's robbed, he's beaten, he's left beside the road. And a priest sees him and passes by. A Levite sees him and passes by. And then Jesus introduces the hero in this moment, right? The Samaritan. And Jesus intentionally makes the outsider the hero. The Samaritan sees the wounded man and does not ask, "Is he one of us?" His actions answer a different question. What does love require of me right now? That question could change the way Christians interact with the world. Just think about Jesus' ministry. All through Scripture, all through the New Testament, right? He touched lepers other people would not touch. He ate with tax collectors that respectable people despised. He spoke with a Samaritan woman. He stood between a woman caught in adultery and a self-righteous crowd. He welcomed children when his disciples thought that they were an interruption. He interacted with Roman soldiers who represented an occupying government. See, Jesus could be absolutely clear about truth and remarkably gracious towards people. John describes Jesus as full of grace and truth. We have to learn that. We have to keep working at that in our lives. And here's the deal. Like, love is not agreement. Understand, hear me on that. Love is not agreement. Respect is not endorsement. Kindness is not compromise. And people that see you loving on somebody that is far from Christ and they want to judge you, let them judge you. You're doing what Jesus would do. Listening does not mean surrendering your convictions. I can say I believe differently than you, but I care about you. I can say we may vote completely differently, but you're not my enemy. I can say we may disagree deeply, deeply about mortality, sexuality, religion, culture. But I will not use that disagreement as permission to treat you without dignity. Romans chapter 14, verse 10, it asks, why do you judge your brother and sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? And then Paul reminds us that we will all stand before God's judgment seat. I think that really brings us back to looking inward again. And asking ourselves, do people experience the love of Jesus from me before they experience my opinion about them? I think that this is important. Write this down. This is going to be on the screen. I think that this is important because people are rarely made, they're rarely made curious about our Savior, right? About our faith after first experiencing our contempt. It's just true. So looking inward, who is my them? Who's the people I've put a label on? Who's the people I'm looking over? Who's the people I may not even really choose to get to know because they're so different than I am? Is it somebody of a different race or nationality? Is it somebody that's poorer or wealthier than you? Is it somebody that, is it the people that are on government assistance? Is it somebody that's struggling with addiction and it's just over and over and over again? Maybe it's somebody that's been incarcerated. Maybe it's somebody that's part of the LGBTQ community. Maybe it's a Muslim or an atheist. Somebody whose politics are the exact opposite of yours. Maybe it's somebody who's in this country illegally and we've labeled them and we're seeing them as a pest as opposed to a person. Now ask yourself the harder question. Have I confused being right about something with having the right to look down on somebody? See, Jesus never gave us permission to despise people simply because we believe that they're wrong. Jesus told us to love them. quiet. Maybe following Jesus this week means having a conversation with somebody that you don't normally talk to. Maybe you even normally avoid them. Maybe it means listening instead of immediately correcting. Maybe it means apologizing. Maybe it means just paying attention to the jokes that we tell and the words that we use and the things that we share online. Maybe it begins with just a simple prayer like, Jesus, help me see that person the way that you see them. Or that group of people the way that you see them. See, we have to remember that not one of us is here because grace, not one of us is here because of ourselves. We're only here because grace was offered to us. That's it. That's why. I think it's really important to remember, and again, it'll be on the screen, but we do not have to compromise truth in order to love people. It's not what I'm up here asking you to do. But we cannot compromise love in an effort to defend truth. We cannot. We follow Jesus. And Jesus was remarkably good at holding tightly to truth while opening his arms to people. My prayer for us all is just that we can simply become more like Jesus. Holding tight to truth while opening our arms to people. If you've been here over the course of the last weeks, you know that 2 out of the 3 weeks I've ended this way, and I'm doing it again today, where I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to read through a prayer. I want you to listen to the words of the prayer. I want you to know the prayer before I ask you to respond and offer it as a prayer from yourself to God. So just close your eyes and listen to these words. Heavenly Father, before we ask you to change the world around us, would you change something in us? Search me. Show me where pride has taken root. Show me the people that I have labeled. Show me the people I have dismissed. Show me the groups I have talked about with contempt. Show me where politics have become more important to people. Show me where fear has replaced compassion. Show me where conviction has turned into arrogance. Show me where I have cared more about proving somebody wrong than loving them well. And Lord, don't let us escape this moment by thinking about somebody else who needs to hear this. Keep bringing it back to my heart. Forgive me for the times I have quietly prayed the Pharisees' prayer. Thank you that I'm not like them. Remind me that I stand here because of grace. I am forgiven because of grace. I belong to you because of grace. And the grace that rescues me leaves no room for superiority. Jesus, give me your eyes. When I see someone whose politics frustrate me, whose religion is different from mine, whose lifestyle I do not understand, or whom society has pushed aside. Help me see someone you love. When truth needs to be spoken, help me to speak it with grace. When conviction requires courage, give me courage without arrogance. When disagreement is unavoidable, teach me to disagree without contempt. Lord, show me my them. Bring a face to mind. Bring a name to mind. Then show me what love requires of me. Make our church a place where broken people can walk through the doors and encounter truth without humiliation, conviction, without contempt, and grace that points them towards Jesus. And this week, before I judge somebody else's heart, remind me to examine my own. Make me less like the Pharisee. Make me more like Jesus. Continue your work inward until what you change inside of me becomes visible in the way I love the people around me. That's the prayer. I'm going to pray it again. I'm going to ask you if you felt the Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning to respond. We've been doing this series. We're going to keep doing it. So I just want you to make eye contact with me if you're going to pray along as I pray this prayer one more time. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. May this be your prayer. Father, before I ask you to change the world around me, would you change something in me? Search me. Show me where pride has taken root. Show me the people I have labeled. Show me the people I have dismissed. Show me the groups I have talked about with contempt. Show me where politics has become more important to me than people. Show me where fear has replaced compassion. Show me where conviction has turned into arrogance. Show me where I have cared more about proving somebody wrong than loving them well. And Lord, do not let me escape this moment by thinking about somebody else who needs to hear this. Keep bringing it back to me. Forgive me for the times I have quietly prayed the Pharisees' prayer. Thank you that I'm not like them. Remind me that I stand here because of grace. I am forgiven because of grace. I belong to you because of grace. And the grace that rescued me leaves no room for superiority. Jesus, give me your eyes. When I see somebody whose politics frustrate me, whose religion is different from mine, whose lifestyle I cannot understand, or whom society has pushed aside, help me see someone you love. When truth needs to be spoken, help me speak it with grace. When conviction requires courage, give me courage without arrogance. When disagreement is unavoidable, teach me to disagree without contempt. Lord, show me my them. Bring a face to mind. Bring a name to mind. Then show me what love requires of me. Make our church a place where broken people can walk through the doors and encounter truth without humiliation. Conviction without contempt, and grace that points them towards you. And this week, before I judge somebody else's heart, remind me to examine my own. Make me less like the Pharisee. Make me more like Jesus. Continue your work inward until what you change inside of me becomes visible in the way that I love the people around me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.